Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hi, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf, Hall of Famer Chris Carter, our guy Nick Wright. Everyone good?
This morning? Yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
Your hair's looking good, man.
Here we go.
I'm documenting the whole thing.
4 seconds in.
I have some private videos and everything. The Nick Wright process going from like 2 inches of hair growth to whatever it ends up. I think he's going to be like a European soccer player by the time the NBA Finals is over with.
Quick question. How do you know when it's done, when you're done letting it grow in? Do we know?
I'll let him know.
Oh, you're going to?
Yes, I'll let him know.
I love it. We got a big show for
great
you
outfit,
today.
Jenna Wolf. Great
I was
outfit.
About to just compliment you on what an effusive and great mood you are in this morning and seemingly every morning as of late. And now I'm so angry 1 minute into the show.
Yeah, don't ruin
awesome.
My mood.
We're okay, exactly, no problem. Exactly yeah, where you okay, want to be
no
right
problem.
Now.
Let's do it.
A lot to get to. Zion Williamson will likely find out his new team tonight.
New York
the NBA
City.
Lottery.
I need
We've
everybody
got
praying. I need the rats praying on
this. Trade rumor involving LeBron James. This one is interesting, but we got to start, of course, with the NBA playoffs. The Western Conference final start tonight. Trailblazers and Warriors, game one from Oracle. Kevin Durant already ruled out for the game, likely out game two as well. In fact, Steve Kerr said not to expect him or Boogie Cousins back anytime soon. Regardless, Golden State still big favorites, not only in the game, but in the series as well. Just don't tell Damian Lillard that.
We split the season series with him. And you know, I think that's it. And we've won on their floor and on our floor. So I think that says that we know we're capable of winning. We know we're capable of beating them. We just got to go out there and do it. We got to put it on the floor.
All right, Nick, if the Blazers are going to pull off the upset, well, what's the first item on their to-do list? How are they going to do it?
Well, they must win one of these first two games. You don't win one of these first two games, then all of a sudden you're in one of these two scenarios. You either have to win four straight to win the series, or you have to win four out of five, including a game seven on the road, which is so rarely done in conference finals.
And I think, Nick, you believe that the probability, because you know you're not going to see Kevin Durant or Boogie Cousins in those first two games. So not only just for the percentages, but as far as the Warriors might get better if the series ends up going six or seven games.
Absolutely right. Like you, we know you're not going to see KD tonight or Thursday. Personally, with the way, not only the way he got injured, but the reaction right after the injury, Steve Kerr's comments yesterday leads me to believe Kevin Durant's not going to be playing basketball for the next week. The Western Conference Finals are every other day. By 1 week from today, we will be discussing game four that will have just happened the night before. Game four, it goes Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday. I would be surprised if Durant plays in any of those first four games. We know he's not playing in the first two. So Portland has to get out to an early start in this series, if you will. And the way you do that is Dame and CJ have to play Steph and Clay, not even, but close enough to even, to where Portland has their one advantage in this series, which I think is their depth, compared to Golden State's lack of depth, to where they go to their bench units, you can win those segments of time. You can win the tail end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, tail end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, because if the Warriors starters blow you off the court, then it doesn't matter how much deeper you are. But I don't think this is, with KD being out, I don't think this is as lopsided as Vegas says. I think the Warriors are the favorites. But I looked this morning. Warriors are minus 600. You have to risk $600 to win $100 for them to win the series. Vegas is giving the Blazers about a 15% chance to win. I think it's closer to a 30% chance, about a 1-in-3 shot. So I do think Portland has a plausible path, most notably because of the Golden State injuries. But every one of those paths involves them winning one of these first two games in Oracle.
When it comes to the Warriors, we talk about something called muscle memory. Your body's just going to figure out how to do it. The Warriors quickly figured out how to win when KD left. They already know how to do it. They don't have to change that much. Don't you agree that that's still going to be a little bit of an uphill battle for the Blazers?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that, and you talk about the 11 players that played in the first half of the game, a lot of them gaining confidence because Steve Kerr, this is more like the situation they played or the basketball that they played before they got Kevin Durant. So I think the younger players, especially playing at home, they're coming off a huge win in Houston. Them playing at home, I believe those first 24 minutes are very, very important that they establish. Because I believe they will play a lot of players, and I believe that it won't be an advantage that Portland. On paper, it says, man, they got a better bench. But I believe that Steve Kerr has empowered his team through that Game 6 victory with the amount of minutes. 11 players played more than three minutes in that first half of the game. And I believe that they'll play a style. I believe they'll play the best defense. They'll play with a lot of energy, and they'll have a lot of fun on the court. That was the style for which a lot of people fell in love with the Golden State Warriors. And I believe that Steve Kerr, what he did after game number 5, when they played that fabulous 14 minutes without Kevin Durant, empowering the team, letting everyone who dresses be ready to play. And I think that's the type of attitude they'll have starting game number 1, and that will carry them through
the
series.
So I think I look at that slightly differently. I think that is potentially a danger spot for the Golden State Warriors in this regard. I think Steve Kerr is a fabulous NBA coach, and he's even better, almost better as an NBA psychotherapist, almost better as massaging egos, making sure everyone feels respected and needed. But where Kerr's gotten himself in trouble, and where I think his biggest weakness is those in-game rotation decisions. And when it was pared down to, we're only playing 7 guys, those decisions became easier for him. Once he played 11, and they had success with it in game 6. If I'm a Golden State Warriors fan, my one concern is, does he all of a sudden, do we have a reboot of, wait, Festus Ezeli is on the court in game 7 of the NBA Finals? Like, where he has had in his past a tendency to expand the rotation too much this time of year, and guys who are not ready, guys who you will, much like we saw with Philadelphia, they played Greg Monroe for a minute and a half. They got outscored by 9 points in that minute and a half. That's why they lost the game. You can put a guy out there that is a bad matchup, that is not ready for the moment, and you can lose the game in those margins. So I understand it's nice that Steph and Clay and Draymond and Iggy aren't going to have to play 42-plus minutes throughout this series, but Kerr's going to have to be very judicious with the guys he realizes early on in the series can play in this series and the guys that are not equipped to play against Enes Kanter, Damian Lillard, high pick and roll.
Well, you just saw what happened with Kevin Durant. There's wear and tear on this team. There's fatigue. The Rockets team played them hard. The Blazers and the Warriors played the second and third most minutes of any teams right now in the postseason. You got to wonder if that's a little too much tax on the Warriors for them to play all those minutes and not have these guys.
Well, I'm not concerned about that. I think at this point in the season, there's so much adrenaline. They're going for their third championship. They had a chance to reboot after the huge victory in game. We can't forget the boost of energy they got. Losing Kevin Durant, but winning in the type of way that they won with Steph struggling in the first half. Because I believe that Steph's going to come out and look like the 2-time MVP. And I believe he is the wild card, if there can be one, with someone who has with a resume like Steph's. Can he stay out of foul trouble? Because if he gets into foul trouble, that's one of the avenues for the Portland Trailblazers to make this difficult on the Warriors.
All right, we'll leave it there. Got to take a break. Coming up, as if things couldn't get any more weird in L.A., could LeBron be on the move this offseason? That's next on FS1. You can always check us out on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM. We'll be right back.
Hey, guys, it's Nick Wright. A quick word from our friends over at Indochino. Did you know that made-to-measure suits fit better compared to generic off-the-rack suits? Many say that a man looks better and feels more confident when he puts on a suit. Indochino is exactly what you need. Indochino is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. Guys love the wide selection of high-quality fabrics and colors to choose from, not to mention the option to personalize the details, including your lapel, lining, pockets, buttons, and writing your own monogram. So here's how it works. Visit a stylist at a showroom of your choice located across the U.S. and have them take your measurements personally. Or measure at home yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. Choose your fabric, both inside and out. Choose your design customizations. Submit your measurements with your choices. And then kick back and relax while your suit gets professionally tailored and mailed to you in just a couple weeks. This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $379 at Indochino.com when entering FTF at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, shipping absolutely free. That's Indochino.com, promo code FTF. For any premium suit for just $379 and free shipping. Incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Once you go custom, you don't go back.
All right, welcome back. We'll get to the LeBron trade rumors in a second. But first, rising eighth grade Micah Williams getting up there with a grown man alley-oop and the death stare.
So this kid's going to be in the eighth grade next year. Look at that.
That's the kid who jumped over someone dunking.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if you're into rankings at that age, he's the number one kid in the country.
Only thing I ever worry about with kids at that age, them hurting their knees or them jumping out of their knees before they get ready for prime time. Okay.
All right, a little baseball action. Ooh. Stros and Tigers. Nico Goodrum taking Brad Peacock deep. But George Springer robbing at the wall.
Springer tried to jump out his knees, see? And that's a legitimate home run theft. That's over the wall, perfectly timed jump.
Yeah, that's pretty good for outfielder. Pretty good athlete. They're not the best athletes that we cover.
George Springer's pretty damn good athlete, too. I think he's a multi-sport kid.
Some hops.
Look at that. Go up and get it, young fella.
I think he surprised himself a little bit there. Great catch.
All right, Abilene University softball in where, Nick?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City. Kayla Robeson robbing Kristen.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Running through the wall.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Hall of Fame hands right there. I'm going through the fence. I need that. Give it to me. I love it. Love the video. Thank the people for sending it to us. Oh, man, she's tracking that ball.
Good stuff.
That's great. That happened basically in my backyard growing up, man.
Finally, I have a little university. I played high school softball.
I thought that was a college.
It was.
Oh, okay.
Batting average?
My batting average was actually like 6-something for a while.
Yeah.
Then it came back down.
The first game, 2-3.
I remember the first year we were doing this show, we talked about that. And then I tried to say you had a batting average of 400. And you thought I tried to insult you. I was like,
no, that's amazing. Yeah. On to LeBron. Not that I didn't know that. I'm just telling you.
No problem.
On to LeBron James. All right. Nobody really expected the direction the Lakers are heading these days.
Nope.
So why not add yet another little nugget? According to reports, the 76ers could explore swapping Ben Simmons for LeBron James. Both repped by the same agent, Rich Paul. Both could use a change in scenery. CC, what do you think? Should the Lakers consider this?
This is very, very tough because you'd like to be able to see things work out with LeBron being with the Lakers. You would think that they're not that far away. You know, Denver is a team that I know their fans and their organization, they'd probably be encouraged. Fourth youngest team in the NBA. Didn't make the playoffs last year. Made a little run. They could have been in the finals. Mm-hmm. A shot, a stop here or there, they could be there. Are the Lakers really that far away? Because that's the question I would have to pose. If they don't have those injuries last year, they're in the playoffs. And if the Lakers are in the playoffs, you wouldn't trade LeBron. You've been like, man, they'll figure it out. Durant's going to leave the Warriors. You know this thing's going to level out next year. But given the way the Lakers have done things this offseason, I can't not but entertain the thought that, man, maybe they should look at trading. maybe that would be the best thing for him. And Philadelphia, I see, because Philadelphia has a couple of the pieces, one being Ben Simmons. Nick informed me the money doesn't match up, but if Jimmy Butler was to sign, opt into his contract.
If you would opt in, you could do Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler for LeBron. Like, that's the only way it works. LeBron makes $40 million. Ben Simmons makes, like, $8 million. So the only way it would work is if you add Jimmy Butler to the deal.
Right, but the only thing with the Lakers is it wouldn't make sense because – you told Ty Lue, I'm only going to sign you to a three-year deal because you're going to be coaching LeBron James. You gave Vogel a three-year deal because you're expecting LeBron James to be able to be there for that 3 years. So it wouldn't make – well, their whole offseason hadn't made sense.
Nothing.
So it would fall into what I thought of Rob Pelinka, the Rambis family, because that's their basketball brass. If they were to trade LeBron James, I woke up – I wouldn't be surprised at all based on the other things that I have seen, Nick.
From a basketball standpoint – this would be a godsend for LeBron. From just a pure basketball, how many championships can he win? How long can LeBron maintain his prime? This is where I wanted LeBron to go last year in free agency. This is At least take a visit. It was Philly. It was Houston. I didn't think it was plausible, but San Antonio were places that basketball-wise made the most sense. Aside from Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant, aside from those two guys, but Durant's not going to join LeBron, Joel Embiid's better than any of the other available free agents that LeBron could get to come join him in L.A. Joel Embiid, in my eyes, is better than Kyrie. He's better than Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. He's better than Kemba. He's better than Klay Thompson. So basketball-wise, for LeBron, it would be great. But I don't think this is even this much plausible because unless the Lakers would be willing to trade LeBron totally against his wishes. LeBron did not make a purely basketball decision. LeBron made a decision in keeping in mind the four people in the world the most important to him, his wife and his three kids. And LeBron has been a present and doting father. And the idea that he would all of a sudden go, because his family is set up in L.A., that he would either make those kids who had said, from what I understand, the family said, Cleveland or L.A., like, that's our vote. Our vote is either stay in Akron or go to Los Angeles.
Well, James family, welcome to pro sports.
Sure.
You don't control your own destiny. Your dad put you in that predicament when he didn't take the no trade clause.
Sure. So that the possibility of either they got to move to Philly or LeBron's got to be away from his family during basketball season. But the other element of this to me that makes so little sense and why I believe a lot of these Lakers stories are coming from opposing teams, general managers, opposing front offices is, why would you ever consider trading LeBron before you find out if you hit on free agency? Before you find out if Kyrie or Kawhi is coming? Before you find out if you can trade for Anthony Davis? Now, if you strike out on free agency.
Now, that was my example I had last week.
Is that when you talked about trading LeBron, you were talking about doing it in middle or late July.
Yes.
Once the free agent dust has settled. But so to me, there are other teams incentivized into, okay, we think we could be in the running for Kyrie. The only reason he would go to L.A. is to reunite with LeBron. If we muddy the waters and make it seem like L.A. might trade LeBron, then maybe Kyrie strikes them off his list. But this is also why the Lakers, if they were run properly, would, they talk to the media all the time, officially and unofficially, would today Jeannie Buss or Rob Pelinka
stand out there,
would put their name on a statement that says, I don't know where these trade LeBron rumors are coming from, but 0% chance, even if it's a lie, even if you're thinking about doing it after free agency, because all of the mayhem of this offseason gets settled if Kawhi Leonard says, I'm signing with the Los Angeles Lakers. If Kyrie Irving goes and joins the Los Angeles Lakers, then all of the rest of it is almost just tertiary details. So I don't know why this discussion would be happening now before the draft lottery, which could change things, before Anthony Davis is traded, which could change things, and before free agency, which will positively or negatively massively change things.
Well, look, you mentioned that this is not something LeBron would want. Well, we knew that LeBron wanted Ty Lue, and Jeannie Buss knew that LeBron wanted Ty Lue, and they went in a different direction. So I'm not as sold on, well, if they did this, this is not exactly what LeBron would want. But what I want to know
real
is...
real quick, before you move off that point, the reason I think that's relevant is they get killed for that Kobe contract, and rightfully so to a degree. But one of the positives of that Kobe contract was they maintained their reputation organizationally, that we treat great players better than anybody, that we have a level of respect for great players. And trading away the greatest player against his wishes would undercut a lot of that Lakers branding.
Well, they lost their branding with Magic Johnson sitting in the doorstep of LeBron James.
Like,
he's their
here.
Greatest Laker. All right? Now, forget what we think about LeBron's a basketball player. Lakers Nation has not embraced LeBron in this whole process since LeBron has been there. Less than a year, it's been awful. And the greatest Laker ever just walked out on LeBron without telling him. So trying to maintain their branding and everything, that's going to be hard to do. But they did sign Kobe to that contract, and they made the moves to sign someone like LeBron and someone else. So someone have to let me know, well, what's the plan now?
Well, listen, with LeBron, at least they have some semblance, albeit a small one, semblance of an identity. Without LeBron, I just wonder who this team is and really, at this point, what direction they'd really be going in.
Yeah, they're just the Lakers of 5 years before they got LeBron. All right? So they need LeBron in Los Angeles more than LeBron needs Los Angeles.
And I just, they had a plan, and while there's been a lot of, I mean, they've hit a lot of potholes and there have been a lot of bad headlines, the two biggest parts of the plan were clear up the cap space to sign LeBron and then clear up the cap space to sign another star. They did part one. They are right now on the doorstep of finding out if they're going to succeed on part two. We know they have the cap space. Why you would divert from that plan?
You're right there.
Until you find out if that plan actually is an effective one, that one boggles my mind. But then again, I also wouldn't have the Rambi being my advisor. So maybe they just are doing things differently there.
Take a break. Coming up, which team has the best chance of dethroning the Patriots in the AFC? We'll talk about that next on First Things First. The 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup kicks off June 7th. All eyes on Alex Morgan, Carly Lloyd, Megan Rapinoe, and the U.S. Women's National Team as the defending champs head to France, looking to win an historic fourth World Cup. All the matches will be live here on Fox and FS1. Time now for Say What? Klay Thompson averaging 27 points over his last two games, and it might be his new pregame prep that has him locked in. Say what?
Andre Iguodala told me that Tiger Woods visualizes every single shot he shoots on 18 holes in the golf course. So if he can do that, that's incredible. That's so many golf swings. I try to do the same approach with basketball, just try to visualize what my getting my spots, what my opponent's gonna do. And yeah, so when you come to the game, you kind of seen it before.
Do you listen to anything when you do that? Like music or?
I try to put on classical Pandora or some nature sounds.
I like Klay so much, man. The visualization's a real thing, though.
Oh, it's a real thing. We started that at Ohio State. We used to sit in the in our meeting room. And we used to go over the game plan, and the coach would say a play, and he'd tell you, close your eyes, and you start visualizing your technique. If you're on the offensive line, visualizing your steps, your hand placement, where they wanted you to be as a wide receiver, getting off inside cover two, bursting up the field, seeing the ball come. Yes, visualization, very, very important. I love it. I used to utilize it all the time.
And before Klay gets into that mode, when he gets in the locker room, first thing he's always done his whole career, other guys reading books, other guys doing stuff on their phone, he has an actual printed newspaper that he's just leafing through. The old paper copy of the newspaper is leafing through before he gets in pregame mode. Klay's a cool dude, man, and he was spectacular for them in game six.
Yeah, I don't know this for a fact, but I think before he gets to the locker room and all that, he's involved in some other papers and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
I think he's a free thinker.
I mean, word on the – yeah, he's – exactly. Getting himself ready for the visualization.
Yeah.
The visualization is the technique I use to spend 3 hours sitting next to you. I visualize what you're going to say, how it will offend me, and then how how it insults me, and then how I react to it. And that's why we have such a great working relationship.
I visualize you with a whole head full of hair.
Oh, my God.
We love you, Nick.
I see it coming.
Love,
I see
Nick. Park. Nothing but love.
I see kind of a three-layered wave on the right.
Stories to start your morning.
LBJ tattooed in the back.
Oh, we got jokes this morning.
Big jokes. Sticking with the Western Conference Finals, we joke because we love. It starts tonight. Blazers, Warriors, game one from Oracle. KD already ruled out for this one, likely out for game two as well. See, what has to happen for Portland to upset Golden State?
They got to have less than 10 turnovers. They got to rebound the basketball. They got to have an advantage of +8 in rebounding the basketball. Yeah, absolutely. These are things that got to happen. And Dame and CJ got to be unbelievable because they play a lot of isolation basketball.
All right, so I love the specifics of that. I've jotted those down. Under 10 turnovers, plus 8 in the rebounding category.
Automatic.
I'm going to add one other thing. Let's see which Enes Kanter you get. Because the Enes Kanter that I was concerned about how he would do in the second round against Nikola Jokic, who actually acquitted himself quite well in the first few games of that series, or the Enes Kanter we've seen throughout his career, who the Warriors would pick and roll to death. Because while Zach Collins has been a nice story for Portland, if you have to rely on him and Myers Leonard for big center minutes, you're going to be at a deficit. So I think Enes Kanter is critical in this series.
Moving on, the Sixers have decided to keep head coach Brett Brown, despite early reports that his job could be on the line after the loss to the Toronto Raptors. Nick, right move keeping him in Philly?
It's not the move I expected. It's not necessarily the move I would have done. I thought he was potentially going to be fired and that they might try to bring in Ty Lue, a championship coach. But if you are keeping him, he clearly needs to either add someone to his staff or go to some clinic something, go talk to his old mentor, Greg Popovich, about these end-of-game situations, about how not to have your team in close games late melt down offensively. I understand a lot of that's on the personnel and the players, but his X's and O's late in games hurt him last year against the Celtics, killed him in Game 7 against the Raptors. He got a reprieve, but he's got to be better.
Yeah, I didn't think ownership. They're one shot away from making the Eastern Conference Finals, so don't overreact. His relationship with those players, especially their star players being Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, I believe that's part of the reason. Also, they owe him a lot of money. Why let him go out the door when you owe him a lot of money and they lost their number one assistant in Monty Williams? If they were thinking about trying to have someone take his role, Monty Williams would have been perfect for that.
Yep.
Once he goes to Phoenix and everything, I think that the ownership said, you know something, let's try to roll this back for one more year. I believe this complicates the Ben Simmons trade him or stay with him, no question.
Good point. All right, finally, the Eastern Conference Finals get underway tomorrow night, Bucks and Raptors. Toronto, headed by Kawhi Leonard, just coming off his incredible game winner. Bucks, led by the probable MVP in Giannis, have had a week to rest. Nick, who's the best player in the Eastern Conference Final?
I mean, I think Giannis right now is the best player in the league, so I'm going to go with Giannis. But the guy who is playing closest to Giannis's level, and you could argue in the second round actually played better than Giannis, is Kawhi. This is going to be an absolute treat for basketball fans, because this is something we do not typically get, which is two guys this evenly matched on two teams theoretically this evenly matched. We have seen LeBron versus Durant in the NBA Finals, but those teams are mismatched. We have seen teams that are evenly matched, but one team had, I thought the Bulls, Jazz were pretty evenly matched teams when they were playing in the finals, but Jordan was so clearly better than Malone, even though Malone was a league MVP and a great player. Two players that are almost dead even skill-wise, and two teams, one 158 games, one 160 games, both taking big steps forward from last season. So I the edge to me goes with Giannis, and he has much less wear on his tires during the playoffs. He's only had to play 9 games, averaging 31 minutes per game. Kawhi's had to play 12, averaging 37 minutes per game. I think it's Giannis, but Kawhi is playing the best basketball of his career and is the closest in the league to Giannis's level right now.
I believe that how Toronto matches up, because they have a number of wing players, Siakam and Ibaka, their ability to be able to take the minutes, take most of those minutes on Giannis, because I believe that Kawhi has an advantage. Kawhi played better in round number two because he had to. They pulled that basketball out of him. So it's really not fair to compare who's the best player in the world. Who's going to be best in this series? I believe that's a great question. And what Toronto can throw at Giannis, it can be a stumbling block. If they can make sure that they can keep him out of the lane, negate his dunks, because I believe Kawhi has a better matchup. I wonder who they're going to put on Kawhi for 30 minutes, and whoever they're going to put on him is going to be a better matchup than he had in round number two going against Ben Simmons.
Unless they put Giannis on him. Because Giannis...
Oh, I'm not worried about that at all.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How come?
I believe it plays in because Giannis doesn't normally guard players like Kawhi. And Kawhi dribbles the basketball too far away from the bucket. I believe he can get Giannis into foul trouble. If you want to look at how Toronto can win, Giannis trying to guard Kawhi on the perimeter and gets himself into foul trouble.
Well, that would be then that would be a strategic switch from the regular season. In the regular season, in this matchup that the Bucks won 3-1, Giannis guarded Kawhi a ton and held Kawhi down, I think, about 35% from the field. Now, maybe because it's a series and because they are worried about Giannis having to play 40 minutes, about staying out of foul trouble, that they would
want. And if you bring Giannis away from the bucket, what kind of rim protection do they have? So from a strategy standpoint, Toronto probably would invite that. I would love that. I would love for Giannis to guard Kawhi compared to sagging off and helping other players. And if he guards Kawhi, who's going to guard Siakam?
Right. If he guards Chris Middleton, probably have to guard Siakam.
Okay, advantage to Toronto.
Right, and absolutely in that regard, correct. That'll be one of the most fascinating things to see, because Milwaukee is a team that doesn't like to switch a ton, and they did. They ended up changing that strategy against Boston after Game One. But they're not like the Rockets or the Warriors that we just saw in the last round, where no one's really guarding anyone. Guys are switching everything. Milwaukee tries to do that less than most teams. And so it kind of is, I got you, you got me.
I don't think that these teams are as evenly matched. I think in the regular season they were, but I think we've seen in the postseason, Kawhi had to do so much because he wasn't getting, there was no depth. He wasn't getting anything from Siakam. He wasn't getting anything from the guys around him. Whereas the Bucks seem so much more well-rounded, not that they had that as much competition seemingly as the Raptors did with the Sixers, but I don't feel like both of their teams outside of their superstars are as evenly matched.
I can understand both of your points. Your point being, in the postseason, Toronto's bench hadn't showed up like they did during the regular season. Nick is calibrating how their bench would typically play.
Yeah.
If they had OG and over the course of the season, how they played without Kawhi. So all those things that, yes, this should be a very, very good matchup. But if Toronto, if they don't get the bench play that they got during the regular season, it becomes a struggle for them. And we saw in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia, they were terrified to shoot. Everyone except Kawhi.
Everyone was scared. And, Jenna, your point's well taken. I do believe that Fred VanVleet can't be as bad as he was in round two. I've seen
him. No, he started getting a lot of confidence in the last two games.
And so, like, I think Toronto, while, listen, they still miss OG, and the trade of C.J. Miles and DeLon Wright has hurt their depth, I do think these are clearly, throughout the regular season, the two best teams in the conference. These were clearly, throughout the regular season, the two best players in the conference.
Sure.
Kawhi won't finish in the MVP voting like that because he missed 22 games, but his level of play has been that. To me, this is as evenly matched of an Eastern Conference Finals, hell, as we've had in a decade plus. I'm super excited.
Who's favored?
Oh, Milwaukee about -300 thereabouts, -285.
That's a big number. It just seems like such a big number. Moving on to the 300. Moving on to the NFL now. Peter King put out his NFL rankings entering the 2019 season. Three AFC teams stood atop his list. The Chiefs, number one, despite their uncertainty with Tyreek Hill. But Peter King called this a, quote, in Mahomes we trust pick. Coming in at number two, the Patriots, because obviously. And at number three, maybe surprisingly, the Indianapolis Colts. Artsy, who do you think is the best team in the AFC? You like what the list Peter King put together?
I got a lot of respect for Peter King, and I can understand putting the Chiefs up there. I don't know how he can have the Chiefs in front of the Patriots when the Patriots go to Kansas City and beat them. Now, unless he's just calibrating the, you know, Gronk's not going to be there. But even if Kansas City was better than them during the regular season, if New England had to go to Kansas City this weekend to play a game, we would still be thinking New England's going to win the game based on the history. So, Peter, yeah, man, I respect his list and everything, but the Patriots should be the favorite, all right? They are the classiest organization. How they're going to do it, I don't know. How they do it last year, I don't know. Start running the ball in the playoffs after being a throwing team, so I don't look for that to change. I know Bill Belichick, he will retool this offense. Tom Brady turning 42, he's not going to let up. So for me, I started this in the NFL, all things New England. Number one, and then I work my way back, I think Kansas City. The Tyreek Hill, what's going to happen to them, that will have an impact on their season. But the Colts, I believe they're the most well-rounded team. They're more well-rounded than New England, than the Kansas City right now. But if New England happens to get home field advantage, and that's how they've gone to the Super Bowl, even though last year they did
and
go through Kansas City.
And last year they didn't even have to have it. Last year they went to Kansas City and won that AFC championship game. I think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. I think the Patriots should be the favorites. And those two things, you might be saying, how can both those things be true? I think the Chiefs, if you go player for player, you go position by position, I understand New England's got the better coach, but Andy Reid might be the second best coach in the conference, so the coaching discrepancy is not as large. We talk about the Tyreek Hill situation is ugly and nasty and sad, but and so let's just assume he's off the roster for at least the start of the season. Sammy Watkins, when he's out there, is still better than anything the Patriots have. Travis Kelce is far better than any skill position guy, in my opinion, wide receiver, running back, or tight end the Patriots have. So I get why, and the Chiefs has had Frank Clark, why you would say the Chiefs are more talented. I think they are more talented. But at this point, the Patriots have earned every benefit of the doubt, and the Chiefs have done the opposite. The Chiefs have won in the last, 25 years, one big-time playoff game. It was the one they won last year against the Colts. Like, that's it. That's the full list of we're in the round of eight and you move on playoff game. They've won a few wild card round games, and that's it. So the Chiefs can be the most talented, but the Patriots should be the favorites. Now, I find the Colts really fascinating. The team that I was left off this that I think could make an argument for top three is the Chargers. Chargers who finished with the same record as Kansas City last year.
They got a talented roster.
They got a super talented roster, and they're going to have, you would think, Joey Bosa for the full season this year, which they were not able to take advantage of. Derwin James, who was spectacular as a rookie, you would think he'll be even better next season. This is what, to me, what was most notable about Peter King's list, Jen, is 1, 2, 3, that wasn't just the rankings of the AFC. That was the rankings of the entire NFL. We talked about last year that the balance of power had shifted towards the NFC. It feels to me, going into the 2019 season, it has shifted quickly at the top of the league back towards the AFC.
My question, especially about the Chiefs, is the big question for the Chiefs last year was their defense. And then when they lost two pass rushers, you do have your questions with Tyreek Hill. You lost some of your offensive linemen. The Colts at least are trending in the better direction. You have Andrew Luck, who's healthy. You have your same lineman, your offensive line that's coming back to protect him. You have an up-and-coming coach who had some success you saw last year. Take the Patriots out of it because they're an anomaly altogether. Do you think the Chiefs are better going into this year than they were last year?
Well, they're better because their quarterback had an MVP season. So as Peter King said, the only reason why they're on that list is because Patty Mahomes. So now Andy Reid, Patty Mahomes, it's not, Andy Reid, I think this guy is going to be good. No, he's very good. But have we seen quarterbacks after their MVP season, when they're older than he is, have come back to the pack? Their numbers come back to the pack.
Dak Prescott.
And we don't know Tyreek Hill because he's the most explosive. And you can do more things with Tyreek Hill that affect the defense than any other player, more so than Patty Mahomes, more so than Kelce or any other player on that offense. So we don't know that effect. Can they protect Patty Mahomes like they did before? They have to be able to establish some type of running game. So, yes, Kansas City, when they start 2019, they should have a lot more confidence than they had starting 2018.
The biggest concern for the Chiefs, more so even than their secondary, which I think is probably right now has constituted a bottom five secondary in the league, which is why there have been some Patrick Peterson trade rumors, is what if Patrick Mahomes just regresses a little bit? What if he goes from record-setting, one of the five most productive quarterbacking seasons ever, league MVP, to the fifth best quarterback in football, which Chiefs fans in general would have killed for 40 years. But if he just goes, if he goes from 50 touchdowns to a great year, which is 35 touchdowns, can the defense make up the difference? Probably can't. So you probably need Patrick Mahomes to maintain that level, which is, unless he is going to be one of the all-time greats, very hard to do.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. Coming up, what's the key to the Blazers upsetting Golden State? That's ahead on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, with Chris Broussard. Hey, Chris.
What up, brother?
What up, man?
Goodness. Nice having you all week. Much appreciated. We brought some good weather here today.
Yeah, all these NBA teams. It's lottery night. Everyone's bringing their good luck charm. What do? Bap, bap. Absolutely.
See?
Let's do it. Ball going to drop right.
The number one NBA analyst in the world is sitting right here.
You can't possibly get more love out west than you do here.
That's true, and I've been telling you this for quite some time.
Big doings in the NBA tonight, Broussard.
How long have you been telling him that, Nick?
I said quite some time.
Quite some time.
The much-hyped, highly anticipated draft lottery. The teams with the best odds to win. You got your Knicks, the Cavs, and the Phoenix Suns. Top prize, the services of Duke phenom Zion Williamson, college basketball's once-in-a-generation prospect whose future will depend on the fate of 1,001 ping pong balls. Broussard. Let's focus on the Knicks. How much is riding on this for them tonight?
This is huge tonight. And I know everybody's focused on free agency, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
But this is big. This is a big part of it. This is step one in what hopefully for the Knicks would be their greatest era in almost 50 years, since the early 70s when they won some championships in 70 and 73. You think, oh, well, if they don't get the top pick or a top two pick, they still could get KD and Kyrie. Well, there's some issues there. What if they go to fifth? The farthest they can fall is fifth,
yep.
And there's a 47% chance of that. So if they fall to even fourth or fifth, now when you look at these free agents, like if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving do come, they're also going to be wondering what's going to be around us. And if you get the top pick or two, it could obviously be Zion. You could trade Zion if you get the number one pick for an Anthony Davis. You could trade the number one or number two pick for two or three other really good players to mm-hmm. put around KD and Kyrie. Like, there's so much they could do. That's not even to mention the box office appeal of Zion, and he's obviously the biggest box office draft pick since LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
So this is big. If they fall out of the top three, then I think it's really going to be painful for them.
And I think people need to understand the numbers. You said them, but you said them quickly. The Knicks have the best chance of landing the best pick. That's a 14% chance. They have a 48% chance, basically a 1-in-2 chance, of having the fifth pick. So they, like, everyone needs to understand, especially the way they flatten the odds, the way they've changed things, it's as good of a chance as any that the Knicks get the fifth pick as they get 1, 2, 3, or 4 combined. Like, so people need to know that's how this lottery works. But I'm one of those people that feels the exact opposite of you. Because I am so confident that Kevin Durant is going there, this is not a lottery where it's like, man, whole franchise is relying on these ping pong balls. The Knicks are going to be fine no matter what. They're going to be in better position than they've been in since 1985, no matter what. Like or you could argue in the early 90s if you thought they could beat those Chicago Bulls teams with Ewing. But I would say 85 because when they got Patrick Ewing, Kevin Durant is the key to all of this. And if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, I've been hearing for the better part of a year, Kevin Durant very well may be the best player alive. If he plus Kyrie Irving are not enough to instantly make you a title contender, then he's not the best player alive. Like, that is we saw the best player alive plus a Kyrie Irving that was not yet this level of Kyrie Irving. Those two guys be a title contender.
With nothing around them.
Well, they had Kevin Love around them in the regular season, to be fair, but Kevin Love, when they won their title, he's damn near unplayable against the Golden State Warriors and actually missed two games in that series because he had the concussion. So I think for the Knicks, this is a weird spot where if I thought Durant's decision was contingent on them getting Zion or Ja, then, yeah, this would be as big of a – bigger than the Ewing lottery because you're getting two superstars. But I think Durant's going there either way. So I think Zion would just be, to use a cliche, icing on the cake for the New York Knicks, not the key part of it.
Yeah, I don't believe it'd be icing on the cake because if you look at free agency, you say Kevin Durant's going to go where he wants to. So Kevin Durant makes them a contender. But if they get Kevin Durant and – that number one pick, that makes them a championship contender because now it opens the door for people would argue. People see Kawhi right now and they're like, yes, he's probably him and Durant, number one and two free agents. But Zion holds the key to Anthony Davis.
Right.
So to me, do you think Anthony Davis is a little bit better than Kawhi as far as moving forward? So for me, those are the top three free agents. So now the Knicks, forget Kyrie, because they have Anthony Davis and KD. Man, that's a squad. Now you don't need as many pieces because you have rebounding, you got defense, and you have shooting. So I believe that the lottery becomes important. I believe tomorrow we go back to conspiracy theory. Man, that when that ball comes up, New York Knicks, just like with Patrick Ewing, people were arguing the fix is
right,
in.
The frozen envelope.
It is important to the NBA. Now, I know it'll be legitimate.
Right.
But if the Knicks could get the number one pick, it would look how hot the NBA is right now. Now we got the lottery. We got game one, the Western Conference Finals. I can't remember a time in my adult life the NBA was more popular than it is right now. We're going to have millions and millions of people just to see who gets that lottery pick, and I believe the most anticipated lottery pick since LeBron.
Well, one quick thing. Kyrie, I do agree with you that I think Kevin Durant's coming to New York. I don't think he should come, and I don't know if he would come alone. So what if Kyrie wants to whether stay in Boston, go elsewhere, go to the Lakers, whatever he does. If he doesn't come with Kevin Durant to New York, if you get the number one pick, you could trade it for Anthony Davis. Now KD doesn't have to come alone, and you still have cap room for other guys, because AD would be a trade.
Oh, listen, you still have cap room, and or if you just hold it. I believe Zion's going to walk into the league as a near all-star. I'm as high on him as you can be. I think he's going to be 20-10 from the word go. Even if you don't trade it, the value of getting the level of production I think you're going to get from Zion on, even at the number one overall pick, a rookie contract. You're going to be getting $20-plus million dollars worth of production from an $8 million a year, $9 million a year player. That helps you even if you don't make the Anthony Davis
trade. What would you prefer to have, KD, Kyrie, and Zion, and all that comes with Zion, the attention, the media, all of it, or KD and Anthony Davis? What's the better team?
Well, I'd rather have KD, Kyrie, and Zion.
And Zion.
And I may – if I get KD and Kyrie – you obviously have to really explore it and do all the due diligence. But I would lean – right now, I would be leaning toward keeping Zion because I feel like that third – if you have KD and Kyrie, that third guy is going to have to be able to be effective without the ball in his hands. Yeah. And I know AD's not ball dominant, but he does – he is used to being the number
Draymond
one
Green
scorer.
On steroids.
Right.
That's what
exactly.
Zion can be. Let's do pick and roll. Zion sets the pick for KD or Kyrie. And if Kyrie and Zion are in the pick and roll, we're going to put KD in the corner.
Yep.
All right? Knockdown shooter. And then if I put KD, the way he's been running the Warriors offense before he got hurt, if I put him and Zion in the pick and roll, put Kyrie on the wing, then I can open up the lane. You're talking about a bunch of dunks? I would right now say that Giannis and Zion, they lead the NBA in dunks.
In dunks next year?
Yes.
If you sign Kevin Durant and Kyrie goes and signs with the Lakers, then, and I think you agree, let's say the Knicks got the number one pick of the draft, then you would trade Zion for Anthony Davis because you do need a second star. And Zion, I don't think, would be a championship-level second star immediately. But I agree with you 100%. If you get Kevin Durant and Kyrie, you don't only keep Zion because everyone's got to eat to a degree and someone's going to have to take that third role, the Bosch, Kevin Love role, which is a tougher role, but also because the Knicks, who have just been flailing about for the better part of my lifetime, you would have a trajectory of, oh, wait, we've got a 30-year-old star. We have a 26-year-old star.
Yep.
We have a 20-year-old soon-to-be star. You would have the trajectory of not just winning right now, but being able to keep this going well past Kevin Durant's prime into Kyrie's prime, well past Kyrie's prime into Zion's prime. That would be the superfecta for the New York Knicks. They just need to be prepared for it to be R.J. Barrett with the third overall pick or something like that.
All right, for Sard, stick around. Coming up, could LeBron be on the move this offseason? That is next on First Things First. Back here with Chris Broussard. We're going viral. Ja Morant will have his eyes on the NBA draft lottery tonight to see his potential landing spot. He better hope basketball works for him because golf ain't his game. Check this out.
I don't see a problem with that.
Hold on. Let me see if he can do it. Let's see. He'll probably get better on this swing.
Come on, Ja. Oh, he missed the ball twice?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I came front because that looks a lot like me out there. So
it can't,
I can't be mad at him.
I'd be worried with guys swinging like that because there's people
Who are awfully close.
Those people are crazy.
Yeah, the people in front of him.
He can't hit the ball that's not moving. He's got no clue of where it's getting ready to go. We got to videotape this. Let me produce this from behind him.
No question.
All right, Broussard, let's strap in and get ready for this one. LeBron and the Lakers. No one really expected the direction the team is headed these days, so why not add another little wrinkle? According to reports, the 76ers could explore swapping Ben Simmons for LeBron James. Both are repped by the same agent in Rich Paul, and both probably could use a change in scenery. But Chris, should the Lakers even consider something?
Let me say this. The Lakers aren't trading LeBron James.
Thanks.
All right, LeBron James is the only thing the Lakers have going for them. Period.
Is he the only person right now within the organization that we even are certain is good at what they do?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, really. So, and now, I do have some respect for Vogel. I know he struggled in Orlando. I thought he was good in Indiana. Some people will tell you it was his staff, whatever. I thought he was good in Indiana. But for the most part, yeah. Look, and LeBron, despite the narrative that nobody wants to play with him, we know Anthony Davis wants to go there. We know Kyrie Irving. I'm not saying he wants to go there. I don't think he will go there. But that's a possibility. Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker. Like, the narrative.
I know for a fact that Kawhi doesn't mind playing with LeBron.
Right. That is not necessarily that he's thirsting to, but that he's not opposed to.
I would have known if he didn't want to play with LeBron. I was also the first one that said, it's not necessarily L.A. meaning the Lakers. That means it could be the Clippers, their front office, Jerry West, and all that. So we have Kawhi, who wouldn't mind playing with them, and we have Anthony Davis.
There's only one of these big-name free agents, sorry to interrupt you,
that
I feel like we know beyond a shadow of a doubt from his own comments and from logic that the Lakers are less attractive with LeBron there. And that's Kevin Durant. But KD, that's how
he's competing with LeBron.
He's competing with him. That's how it's supposed to be. And so, like, all the other free agents, to me, from what I understand, LeBron is either a neutral point or a positive point. And so, but go ahead.
No, I agree. And here's the thing from a Philly perspective, or any other team that would try to trade for LeBron. LeBron wants to be with the Lakers. It wasn't just, oh, Magic Johnson's there, I'm going to go there. He was going there pretty much anyway.
But does he think he still wants to be with the
Lakers?
Yes,
he wants to be in L.A. He didn't go there.
I understand basketball wants to be in L.A. Why does he want to be on the Lakers?
Well, he wants to be in L.A. I mean, seriously. Like, and
if
I don't
the story
think,
was he's bigger than the Clippers, then maybe there'd be some traction.
Possibly because the way the franchise is looking right now. But I know in the past, LeBron, it was always, he felt he's bigger than the Clippers. The Lakers are the glamour franchise of the NBA. He's one of the biggest names that league has ever had. He wants to be there because his family. He wants to be there, obviously, his business situations. And here's the thing, too, and this is why yesterday with Vogel I emphasized so much, the key is LeBron buying in. And that includes the coaching staff and the roster. Because, look, the Portland Trail Blazers are in the Western Conference Finals. And if it wasn't going to be them, it was going to be Denver. Yeah. You can't tell me a healthy LeBron James 100%. And just what he had this year, even if they don't add anybody.
Bring it back.
Right. They couldn't compete with Portland and Denver.
Right. They couldn't have done, by the way, they couldn't have been, let's say they get the 7th spot, the spot the Spurs were in. Let's just say.
Because that was that side of the bracket.
Right, that side of the bracket. They couldn't have, the Spurs took Denver to 7 games. And you listen, with folks in Denver, you guys earned my respect. Jokic was spectacular starting out game. He proved himself. But Jokic in Denver wouldn't want to see LeBron in game 7 of the first round.
They got seven.
And I agree with you. And so I think the Lakers organizationally are in disarray. But we can't forget that on the court, assuming LeBron's healthy, and which I understand we can't, it's not a given the way it had been up until last season. And assuming that even if his play is deteriorating, that it's not deteriorating by 30 or 40% each year, you're a pseudo contender now, which is why any of these rumors, doing them, having it out there before free agency, because you add another player, you are a real contender, is baffling to me.
I think we need to look at how the players look at things, not only from a LeBron standpoint, because these current players, they didn't see Michael Jordan play. The greatest basketball player they ever seen play is LeBron James. So all these rumors about it being a, you know, a distraction to play with LeBron and all that, some of that's true, but most of it is right. not true. So in their eyes, LeBron is the best player that's ever played the game. We have to always remember that. From a Lakers standpoint, the problem is, since these guys have been in the NBA, the Lakers have been a dumpster fire. They haven't been in the playoffs. They haven't been one of the elite basketball programs. So, yeah, they do look at LeBron as if, yeah, man, I would like to be able to do that. He's an iconic player. But this is not an iconic franchise to them. Right. They're not like us.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, they're looking at the Clippers. Clippers had Lob City to them. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at the Clippers as the better franchise, at least right now. And quickly, Nick, if another team were to try to trade for LeBron, they would have to weigh in, he doesn't want to be here. Like, unless you get him to say, okay, yeah, I'm excited about going to Philly. I'd like to try to win a championship with Embiid or whatever. Then you have a situation where we've seen LeBron when he's not happy, when he wants to sulk. But, and that's what you'd have to deal with.
And the problem
too.
For Philly is, if LeBron wanted to be there, he'd have been there.
He could have went there.
And that would have been the best situation to compete for as many championships as possible. The family element of this was the biggest. Everyone acts like the biggest element is his game shows and his TV shows and the product. That
you
absolutely.
You can do that from anywhere.
You can do that from anywhere. Guys got a private jet. Like, you can do that from anywhere. That was an element. Oh, he's got to tape Space Jam. Like, that's going to take 8 weeks in a summer. It was his, from what I understand, his wife and his kids said, man, it's Akron or L.A. You know what I mean? We're not going to another place, especially when his oldest son is entering the recruitment phase of high school, all these things. And so I just think, though, I think that this is, I don't want to say it's a non-story because it's obviously a story. I think it's almost a non-starter. I'm very curious from your perspective because you're in the news-breaking business. To me, this feels like a rival executive trying to plant seeds of doubt in potential free agent minds that the Lakers aren't bought in on LeBron James, because Tom Haberstroh's a great reporter right. and a great writer, but he said he talked to a Western Conference executive or an NBA executive that said the Lakers could trade LeBron.
I don't even think it's that deep. I think, and I know this from talking to executives all the time, this was just a conversation. And this was, what do you think that, you know, Lakers do or Philly? Hey, heck, if I'm Philly, maybe I'm looking to, you know, I think they should, you know, they
Move
might
Ben
try
Simmons.
To get LeBron for Ben Simmons.
No,
like, it's
real,
that type of discussion.
Well, there's some real conversations as far as Ben Simmons. Now with
well,
his second,
right.
with
Philly,
now with his
Philly
second,
side.
Now
right.
with his second year yep. failing in the playoffs, not being able to get the numbers that he got during the regular season, they also have the same agent. And if you're going to get off of Ben Simmons, you got to move him somewhere. You got to be able to move him somewhere.
From Philly's perspective, yeah, it looks good.
It would be
good.
A huge
right.
win.
I would do it if I'm Philly.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.